Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I have with me a very senior and accomplished professional from Washington, D.C., USA, Joanne Irving. Joanne, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so pleased to be here.
Thank you. Joanne is an executive advisor. She's an author, and all of you know, I am very partial to authors. So she's an author of a book titled The C-Square Factor for Leadership, and she's the leadership expert. So Joanne, before we talk about your book, tell me a little bit about your own journey.
Well, I grew up in a small town in Vermont, in New England. So it was a small town that thought it was a big city, okay. And because it was the capital, but it had only 7,000 people in it.
Amazing.
And so I grew up there and had lots of adventures. I was a tomboy, and meaning I loved to play in the woods and get into trouble and all that sort of thing. And then went off to college just outside of Boston, which all of a sudden exposed me. I was a very sheltered life. I lived in the country, you know, and where everyone kind of looked the same and were from the same background. And then I went outside of Boston and was exposed to a variety of people and really challenged me and helped me grow. So,
fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous. And what about your corporate journey? As in, you know, tell me a little bit about that also.
Yes. Yeah, so I actually am a clinical psychologist by training. And I started my career as a therapist, and I'm actually still do some psychotherapy. But I was working outside of Washington, D.C., and I found that many of the people who were coming for therapy, so to speak, were really coming to talk about the struggles that they were having at work and with their teams, with their, you know, bosses, et cetera. And Freud said there's only two things, love and work, and that are important. And so I found myself working with a lot of executives, people who were really very accomplished and doing well in many parts of their lives, but still wanted to come and talk. So many years ago, I looked at myself, and I had also been trained in organizational development. And so I never really used it and wanted to do those. And so I thought about, well, okay, what could I bring to organizations? And I stepped off the zeitgeist cliff of coaching. And that was quite a while ago, probably, 20 some years ago, 23 years ago, and have been doing that ever since.
Amazing. Amazing. So let's now move to your book, The C-Square Factor for Leadership. Before we talk about the book, I'm assuming it's available on Amazon?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So I'm going to ask all our viewers and listeners to go and check out C-Square Factor for Leadership, written by Joanne Irving, PhD, and I will check out the book myself. So now tell me about your book and your hypothesis when you wrote it.
Yes. So this is based on my work with, you know, hundreds of leaders from a variety of organizations, you know, corporate, trade associations, education, health, a wide variety. And what I noticed was that the most wise and the most transformative and the most effective leaders had these two qualities in common. They were exceedingly curious and courageous. But many of them didn't recognize that until I pointed it out. And I can give you some interesting examples of that.
Please.
So I worked with the CEO of a global manufacturing company, and she was the first one in her family. She grew up in a rural area with no bathrooms, no running water even. And so she was the first one to go to college in her family. So she leaves this extremely rural area, comes to LA, and starts trying to adjust to the life in the city and all this stuff, when she got a call from her sister telling her that her cousin had died leaving a three-year-old daughter
wow.
with no one to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
So this woman, my client, was 22 years old, and she decided at 22 to voluntarily become a single parent
wow.
and adopted this child on top of everything else. And I said to her, oh my gosh, you know, what a courageous move. And she said, well, I don't really think of myself as courageous. I guess I'm resilient. And I was like, are you kidding me? And that's an example, you know, that's an example of courage. I talk to other people with just the most interesting backgrounds, so accomplished. One woman who is the managing director of a global trade association, he spoke five languages, had been a foreign correspondent, was an immigrant from South America, was a single parent. And I said, wow, you must be so curious. And she said, oh, no, I guess I'm kind of inquisitive. And I'm thinking, here are these people with these strengths that they're really not aware of consciously. And what I know as a psychologist is that you have, if you're aware of something in yourself, you can grow it, you can develop it. And so in these unprecedented times of change and all of that, I thought it was really important to identify those strengths. And I called it the C-squared factor.
C-squared. And I'm assuming the C-squared is curious and courageous, or are the two C's for something else?
No, it's for curious and courageous, because it's about the alchemy of them working together. They're synergistic and symbiotic, and they work together, and one without the other is actually suboptimal. And so it's about this alchemy together.
So can you give me an example of why you think that the two of them go in tandem and they are not necessarily able to function without one another?
Right. Well, okay. So let's think about curiosity as kind of this, you know, an open mind, wanting to learn and discover and explore. And courage is the willingness to take action in the face of uncertain outcome, risk, you know, for a larger cause, for an important goal. But one without the other is suboptimal. For example, if you have neither, you're kind of like a robot, you know, you're just sort of stuck in your ways. But if you only have curiosity and no courage, you're kind of like an academic. You can be sort of paralysis by analysis, they say. And if you have all courage and no curiosity, you're a bit reckless, you know? As we say, often in error, but never in doubt, you know? And so you need the two together. One is an inner experience and the other is a taking action. And so they enhance each other. And you often need one in order to really use the other. You need to be courageous sometimes to be curious.
Correct.
Right. And it helps to be, and curiosity can help us be courageous too.
Thank you. What a great response. Thank you so much. So let's talk a little bit, or, you know, you also state that, you know, leading today requires more than a high IQ and EQ. It requires curiosity and courage. And I'm, you know, do you want to expand a little more on that?
Well, sure. So, so we're in a situation where we're at the fast pace of change, right? And so leaders need to be asking questions that maybe challenge conventional wisdom. You know, they need to be curious. And they need to examine the assumptions that they're making about how, you know, about work. But they also need the courage to take action in the face of ambiguity. And so IQ and EQ are necessary, but they're not sufficient today in this rapid change.
Well said. Well said. So, you know, given all the work that you've done with so many leaders, and you must have done a lot of research while writing your book as well, my next question to you, Joanne, is what makes a good leader?
You know, I was Googling leaders and leadership, you know, and I found that Google has 1.47 billion books and articles when you Google it. And so there's a lot of thoughts about that. But typically, you know, we think about cognitive skills and emotional skills, right? Mm. But so cognitive skills, meaning business competence and vision and being able to think strategically, and emotional skills, communication, inspiring other people, that type of thing. Mm. But in my book, I demonstrate how the C-squared factor, how curiosity and courage, curiosity is kind of a gateway to learning these things, mm-hmm. and courage is the driver in applying them. Mm. So I think of good leaders as having those cognitive skills, those emotional skills that are enhanced and developed by having curiosity and courage.
Fascinating. So you've spoken about two C's, curiosity and courage, and being courageous. I'm going to ask you about a third C, which is culture. I want to ask you, and you live in an incredibly multicultural country. How does culture impact leadership?
Well, you know, when we think about culture, I think we need to think about it in two ways. Mm. One, what is the culture of our workforce, mm-hmm. right? Even if you have a company that's largely in one country, still it's interacting and doing business usually globally, right? Mm. So we think about what is our workforce and what is the environment in which we're in? Mm. And also, we need to think about culture in terms of our own culture. Mm-hmm. What are the biases that we bring as a function of being from a particular culture? Mm-hmm. And that's going to impact things like, you know, how we view hierarchy. Mm-hmm. How, you know, are we hierarchical or are we more even in our in thinking about how we want to do work? Mm-hmm. How we communicate? Are we more directive or are we more diplomatic, you know? Are we interested in individual achievement or are we more focused on, you know, the benefits to the group? Mm-hmm. And so there's all these dimensions on which we need to think about. But the most important thing is that we are constantly asking ourselves, what am I biased about? Mm. What assumptions am I making about people that may or may not be true?
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Well said. Well said. The other question that I wanted to ask you, and I've spoken to many leaders, most of them said that the most difficult time they've had is during the pandemic, because they had to lead companies, they had to deliver bottom lines, they had to keep their teams together. So my question to you, Joanne, is how has the pandemic impacted leadership?
Well, the pandemic taught us, we live in these, you know, fast-paced times, but it reminds us that no matter how smart we are, we have no way of predicting the future. Mm. And we need to be able to quickly adapt, and we need to be able to make decisions in high levels of uncertainties. Mm. Leaders needed to be agile and flexible and have the courage to take action and the curiosity to stay on track as things were changing. You know, we asked ourselves about employee well-being, remote work, changing the way we thought strategically. I mean, it really was a revolutionary experience for all of leadership. I think it set us back on our heels, obviously. But those with curiosity and courage adapted. They found a way.
Mm. And, you know, post the pandemic, we've also been faced with the great resignation and the great termination.
Right.
How are the leaders, or how is leadership reacting to these amazing, and I call these almost like tectonic shifts in HR policies? And, you know, you would understand this better than I would.
Well, right. Tectonic shift is a better word than revolution, actually, for the pandemic. Going back, I want to hold on to that. Right. Okay. I think, again, I think that people with a high C-squared factor have viewed this as a challenge and an opportunity to reevaluate the culture of their organization and the working conditions, right? In terms of the great resignation, you know, to look at, you know, to try to understand the reasons for the departures, you know, and to address those underlying issues, you know, of burnout, and to think about improving work-life balance or, you know, increasing flexibility and that type of thing. And in terms of the great termination, it's really reconsidering the requirements of new hires. How are we, you know, things that we've always thought were necessary for a particular position, and looking at how to redeploy talent, how to redesign jobs, right? It's really there. It's an opportunity to sort of speed up thinking that perhaps we should be doing, and we're doing a little bit, but both of these, both the resignation required it, and the termination, I think in part was of course a response to all these other changes, but required this kind of adjustment. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Very well. I think it's a great response. Thank you. My next question is on technology, you know, and every company is being, you know, hit by today's technology. When I said, I mean, we've always had technology of some form or the other over the last 100 years, but with the kind of technology coming in, artificial intelligence, you've got ChatGPT, you've got the metaverse, it's changing the traditional paradigm that leaders used to have, which was, you know, I've got to be the role model, I've got to make sure that my teams are, you know, have their morale is high, and, you know, deliver on the bottom line. I'd love to get your perspective on how is technology changing the leadership paradigm?
Well, I think that actually technology has increased the need for leaders to be role models and to be sensitive to the people that they're working with. They just need to be thinking about what that role modeling looks like, and how they're going to align with their workforce, how they're going to inspire people, right? And so, you know, they need to be forward-looking, and they need to be tech savvy. They need to understand the advantages of technology, how it streamlines processes, how it can enhance, you know, customer experience, improve decision-making, all those types of things. And so they need to demonstrate their own tech savviness, both in terms of understanding it and understanding how to apply it. And, you know, there's just so many ways, you know, how they communicate with their, you know, workforce, and the opportunities that it provides in terms of work for, remote work and virtual teams and an awareness of cybersecurity. I mean, there's just, it has really, I don't think it's fundamentally changed the fact that leaders need to have all those same skills. They just need to be refocused slightly on the new opportunities and challenges that technology brings.
Correct. Wonderful. I have time for two more questions for you, Joanne. My next question is on the young leaders. You know, before the conversation, I told you I'm from the boomers generation. But I have a lot of respect for the millennials and the Gen Z leaders who are now coming into, you know, significant roles in corporations. And I do believe that they bring in a breath of fresh air into every organization that they join. I want to get your thoughts on how are the millennial and the Gen Z leaders changing leadership paradigms and parameters?
Well, they certainly challenge assumptions about how work should be done and about what leadership means. I think they have a great deal of curiosity and courage. You know, they want to ask, they ask questions and they listen. And the values of these generations are things like, you know, transparency and inclusivity and understanding that work needs to be purpose driven, They want flexibility. They, you know, embrace that technology we were just talking about. Mm. You know, they grew up with this stuff. Yep. And so it doesn't intimidate them a bit. They're just very comfortable with more transparency, communicating through multiple channels, all that type of thing. And so they're faster on their feet a little bit than those of us, those boomers that we are. Right.
Correct.
So I think that they see the value of being open and honest and accessible, and they're a bit more casual and sort of personally connected, and they move fast. Correct. They move fast.
Well said. And my last question to you, Joanne, and this is for the thousands of people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your amazing understanding of leadership, what would you say are three lessons you would want a lot of our young viewers and listeners to take away from your own journey and from our conversation?
Well, I'll go back to my book for a minute, and I will say that, number one, embrace your curiosity and courage. Grow it and develop it. And if you don't know where you are in those dimensions, you can take a quiz on my website at which we can talk about later. And also notice that in and name it in others, in the people around you, because when you are running a team meeting and you see someone show up with a courageous suggestion, willing to take a risk, or curious about an assumption they're making, call that out and reinforce it in the people around you. And remember, when we look at the world with curiosity, there's so much we can learn.
Correct.
And if we have courage, there's so much we can do.
Absolutely. Well said. Do you also want to tell us about your website and where the questionnaire will be, or the quiz?
Sure. Well, so the book, you can see at www.c2factor.com. And the quiz to see how to grow and develop your curiosity and courage and where you are on that continuum is at www.courageouscuriousleaders.com.
Okay. C2 Factor and courageouscuriousleaders.com. Thank you. Joanne, on that note, thank you so much for speaking to me about your journey. Thank you for speaking to me about your book, The C-Square Factor for Leadership. Thank you for talking to me about how important it is for every leader to be both curious and courageous. Thank you for speaking to me about so many different aspects of leadership. Thank you again, and good luck to you.
Thank you so much. I enjoy this. The time flew by, so thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast. Platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.